Alrighty. Well, I can say, almost say I didn't write six thoughts, and it's 99% quotes straight from the Bible. So I've just compiled them and reworded a few of them to be a bit more, what's the word? Conversational. And I only finished it last night. If there's some sentences that don't quite make sense. I'm being tested by God. I'm sitting the exam. This is from a previous exhort. I think of your daily driving. How much tighter, self-controlled, and patient we all were when the driving instructor was looking for us to make a fault so he can fail our license. Isn't the tests God puts us through of far more weight? And the result of failing isn't not getting a license, but eternal death. Luckily, we get a few more resets of this test. So why does God test us? Is there a simple answer? The more we understand why we face trials, the more easily we can accept them and use them as a chance to grow rather than stew in our own misery. So I'm going to touch on a score minus four reasons why God lets us face trials. Well, that's as many as I came up with. To start off, sometimes we don't know and we'll never know. Sometimes we have to admit and we just don't know. Instead of trying to grasp at nothing, trying to make sense of the situation we are in and trying to find out why. We must trust in the Lord that He knows what is best, so we just have to have faith. How what God has to say about this in Isaiah 55:8-9, Jeremiah 29:11, Proverbs 3:5-6 is, I have plans for you, I have known them since before you were born. Plans to help you prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. But you may not understand the way I go about things, since my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just remember to trust in me with all your heart and don't rely on your own understanding. Seek my will in all you do, and I'll show you which path to take. Now the first reason I came up with was to help us grow thicker skin. What we learn in James 1, Galatians 6, Hebrews 10 is that God blesses those, I'll give you a copy here. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation by rewarding them with the crown of life that He has promised to those who love Him. So in knowing this, do not become weary in doing what is right, and do not throw away your confidence. For at the proper time we will be blessed with eternal life, and you must persevere so that when we have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. James 1, Psalms 73 instruct us to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. We know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to us by our Father in heaven. Our flesh and our hearts may fail, but God should be the strength of our hearts and our portion forever. Those who are far from Him will perish. Reason two, we make dumb decisions. We have all suffered because we have made a dumb decision, or our conscience isn't kicking into gear, or our flesh has overcome our will. We will do our will instead of God's will. We can't blame God for our mistakes, but what we can do, hopefully, is say, God brought me through it and made me stronger and smarter in the process. Hosea 4 and Proverbs 19 tell us that people are destroyed from lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. And because of this, in the past, God has rejected them and their children. Enthusiasm without knowledge is not good. If you act too quickly, you might make a mistake. A person's own recklessness leads to ruins, and your heart rages against the Lord. Reason three, God is making us more humble. We know this as 2 Corinthians 12 and Proverbs 18 and 1 Peter 5 tell us so. They say, God has promised us more than we can ever deserve, but to stop us getting ahead of ourselves, we can be given a thorn in our flesh, an adversary to stop us becoming too proud. Before destruction, our heart is haughty, but humility comes before honour. We need to be humble so that under God's mighty hand he may lift us up in due time. We need to cast all of our anxiety on him because he cares for us. We need to stay alert and of sober mind. We will always have to battle the flesh in this life. Reason four, for the sake of discipline. In the wise words in Hebrews 12 and Proverbs 3 tell us a story we are pretty familiar with. It goes sort of like this. Have you completely forgotten the words of encouragement that speaks to you as a father speaks to a son? We should remember the lesson, not to make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he humbles everyone he accepts as his children. We need to know that when we endure hardship as discipline, God is treating us as his children. And what child is not disciplined by his father who did it because they thought it was the best thing at the time? If we are not disciplined, then we are not legitimate children. Also, we've all been disciplined by our human fathers, and we mostly respected them for that. After a few years, God disciplines us for our good. God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have learnt their lessons. We need to learn not to reject the Lord's discipline, not to get angry when he corrects us. The Lord corrects those he loves, just as parents correct a child they delight in. We will be happy when we find the wisdom and gain understanding. Reason five, to help us not be too independent. John 15, 2 Corinthians 12, both have something to say about this. They tell us that our Lord's grace is all we need, and that his power works best in weakness. So we should be glad about our weakness, so that the power of Christ can work through us. So we should be happy when we get insulted, suffer hardships, persecutions, and troubles, because when we are weak, we can be strong in the Lord. We are to be branches of a single vine, and if we remain true, we will produce good fruit. For apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. Reason six, God wants to spend as much time with him as we can. In Revelation 2, he says, I know you work hard and you never give up. I know that you do not accept evil people. You have tested those who say they are true to me, but really are not. You found that they can be liars. You continue to serve me. You have suffered troubles for my name and have not given up. But I have this against you. You left the love you had in the beginning. So remember where you were before you fell and change your heart. Do what you did at first. If you do not change your current ways, I'll take away your lamp from its place. Reason seven, God can use the trials to help prevent disaster. David says in Psalms 121 and 9 and 37 that the Lord guards us. The Lord is the shade that protects us from the sun. The sun cannot hurt us during the day. The moon cannot hurt us at night. The Lord will protect us from dangers. He'll guard our life and guard us as we come and go, both now and forever. The Lord defends us when we suffer. He defends us in times of trouble. We need to trust him because he will not leave us if we come to him. If we commit everything we do to the Lord, if we trust him, he will help us. Reason 8, we need to suffer as Christ did. 1 Peter 4, 2 Corinthians 1 tell us, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals that come on us to test us, as though something strange were happening, but rejoice in as much as we participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that we may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If we are insulted because of the name of Christ, we are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on us. If we suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if we suffer as a Christian, we should not be ashamed, but praise God that we bear his name. For just as we share in the sufferings of Christ, so also comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for our comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for our comfort, which produces in us patient endurance." And reason 9 is sort of a follow-on, is to become more like Christ. Now this one's got a lot in it, from 1 Corinthians 11, Philippians 1, Romans 5 and Romans 8. They tell us that imitating Christ is the way. We know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love him, people he called. God knew them before he made the world and chose them to be like his son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. And so we must glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love can be poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us by Christ, who died for us. God, who began the good work within us, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. Reason 10. We go through trials because we can help others who are going through a similar trial. Quoting scripture can be hard to understand for someone who is grieving, stressed or angry, but you can comfort them because you have been through the same thing, and through the pain you trust in God. 2 Corinthians 1, Galatians 6 say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction. Through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Reason 11, trials give us a greater reward. 2 Corinthians 4 and Mark 10 tell us this. They say, "Don't give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is made new every day. We have small troubles now and then, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory. That glory is much greater than the troubles we face. We need to set our eyes not on what we can see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will only last a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. No one who has left his house, land, or family because of Jesus says, no one who has left their family, land, house because of me in the gospel will not receive 100 times more. Now, at this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." Reason 12, to show the sin in our lives. We are told to put ourselves in trial. before you prepare for the bread and wine, to come before the Lord in a worthy manner. Those who look are those who know of our faith often look down upon us for it, and they'll often be the first to point out a fault or a sin we've committed. They act as a backup conscience for us. We should never deceive ourselves and try to hide our sins from God, which is impossible. Now, from a few, quite a large number of chapters and Psalms, because I am close to falling and my pain is always with me, yes, I confess my wrongdoing. I'm worried about my sin, but my mortal enemies are so strong. Those who hate me for no reason seem countless. Those who repay good with evil, they oppose me for pursuing good. They don't leave me all alone, Lord. Please, my God, don't be far from me. Come quickly and help me, my Lord, my salvation, because countless evils surround me. My wrongdoings have caught up with me. I can't see a thing. There are more of them than hairs on my head. My courage leaves me. Favour me, Lord, and deliver me. Lord, come quickly and help me. Reason 13. We go to trials to remind us that God's power can overcome any situation. Now, I just used Luke 8, 22 to 25 for this one. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." So they got in a boat and set out. They sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so the boat began being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Reason 14. Trials increase our knowledge, and they help us learn God's word. Psalms 119, 71-77. "It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Your hands made me, informed me, give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to the promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight." Psalms 94:11-15. "The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble till the pit is dug for the wicked. The Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it." Psalms 119:64-68. "O earth, O Lord, is full of thy steadfast love. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. O Lord, according to thy word, teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I believe in thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. Thou art good, thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Reason 15. Trials teach us to be more thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, Ephesians 5, and Colossians 2 tell us that we should always be joyful. Always keep on praying, no matter what happens. Always be thankful, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And lastly, reason 16. Child, help us keep our mind on the Lord. Colossians 3 and Romans 12 teach us. They say, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the glory. Therefore I appeal to you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So don't cry when it turns to custard. Pray, be thankful, rely on God's understanding, what has been done for us, and the reward to come.